Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Issues Concerning Women, the radio talk show. I am your host, Francine Allen Humphrey, and as always, it's my pleasure and my delight to be with you. I am so excited. It's another Thursday night. I get to come and hang out with my Issues Concerning Women radio folks and just bring you some great information. Thank you so much if this is your first time tuning into the show. If you're a longtime listener, we thank you as well. And my co-host is Veronica McMillan, and I could not do this show without her. And so tonight we just want to thank you. It's a little chilly in Virginia Beach, Virginia, so I don't know where you are, but wherever you are, I hope that you're safe, I hope that you're at peace, and I hope that you feel the love that's coming through this station tonight. Welcome to Issues Concerning Women. Issues Concerning Women focuses on women and their families reaching long and short-term goals, assisting them in the areas of business, careers, housing, finance, and life skills. The Micro Nonprofit Network Incorporated helps small nonprofit organizations become foundationally strong through education, coaching, mentoring, and program development for 501c3 organizations. We offer advocacy services to infuse and stabilize households and foster a sense of community involvement, self-worth, and self-determination. Our vision is to empower women and their families through hands-on demonstrations, details of home ownership, career development, investing for retirement, exercise and nutrition classes, entrepreneurship, relationship building, and adult literacy programs. We are dedicated to making a difference in our community. So tonight, I want to start out by sharing a few things with you about where we are right now and looking at the month of May. As you may know, since we talked about this last week, it is Mental Health Awareness Month. And so I want you to focus on who you are and where you are at this particular moment. And I want you to just take a deep breath. I want you to be at peace for at least the next 30 minutes. And I want you to love yourself intentionally and be good to yourself. We know that so many people are hurting right now, going through so many different aspects of life, trying to figure things out, going through challenges. We're still in the COVID pandemic. They tell us to wear a mask, don't wear a mask. They say, you know, go get a job. Then they said, you know, you can work from home, start a business. Whatever it is that you're going through right now in this moment, I just want you to relax. I want you to take a moment for yourself and just breathe through all of this and just make sure that you are clear about who you are, about the goals that you have set for yourself, and about what aspirations you have for you. Last month was Financial Literacy Month, and I am a financial services representative, so I am all about money. I want to talk about money. I want to research it. I want to find out how people can gain more money and wealth and get educated. I want people to have the financial support that they need. I want them to be in a good space when it comes to their money, because when we talk about that financial wellness and wellness in itself, we have to include the finances. And for some reason, we haven't been doing that. We talk about the mind, body, and the spirit and being in wellness, but you have to include your finances, because if your money's not tight, then the rest of your stuff is not going to be together. I had the awesome opportunity this week to attend two libraries, one in Norfolk and one in Suffolk. And my business partner, Veronica McMillan, invited me to come out to the Suffolk Library to speak to some women who are caregivers in their respective organizations. They are women who are building care agencies for children in different capacities, but all new and building, and some have been in business, another business, but they're looking into what it is needed for them to be a great child care agency. And so one of the things we always have to talk about is the money. So when I open up, I say, let's talk about the money. Let's talk about where you are as an individual. How do you feel about money? What does it mean to you? How have you been treating your money all along? Was money something that you talked about in your family? Because so many families did not sit down at the kitchen table like we see on television and talk about the bills and how everything was going to get paid and what they had left. And then there were many stories along the way where we knew that people were struggling and they did talk to their children about the struggle and how hard they had to work and how they had to make ends meet and how they had to do whatever it is that they had to do to make sure that their children were fed. And so it has not changed. That will always be with us. You're either on one side of the coin or the other. But the good thing is you can always learn about money. You can always learn about how to get it, and you can always learn how to keep it because we already know how to spend it. That's not something that we need to learn. We already have that sense of how to do that and how money affects everything that we do. And so we talk about in the church family about how money is the root of all evil, but it's not the money. It's the things that you would do to get the money. That's the evil part. It's the things that you do with the money that creates some evilness in us sometimes. And when we're looking at who we are, we have to just be true to ourselves, know what it is that we want, and go through the process. And so when I was there on this week on Tuesday night and talking to these small business owners and nonprofits, I talked to them about how do they feel about money and where were they in their personal lives. So just to give you a little snapshot of what that was, I wrote about, let's say, 15 or 20, probably more, about 20 or 30 words on the board, and I asked them to pick out the words that meant something to them, the words that resonated with them. And everybody pretty much chose something different. A couple of ladies chose something within the group text itself about how they felt about money. And the words that we choose are so powerful. The words that we choose to speak are powerful. So if you are living in lack and you speak lack, then you're going to have lack. So you have to choose words that are going to empower you and choose words, no longer using the word lack, and you can use it, but I have had lack in the past, but now I will have abundance because you have to speak into the future. So many times we live in the past, and we want you to live in the present day, of course, but we also want you to think about the future. We don't want you to want for anything or long for anything, but we do want you to know that there's power in the words that you speak. So if you're living in the present and your goal is to have abundance, not just for you, because I have learned that probably in my lifetime, the abundance that I would have liked to earn, I may not, because each day my life gets shorter and shorter, and I'm okay with that. But I do want my children to have the opportunity to have abundance in their life. I want to be able to teach them how to create wealth in a way. I'm not talking about they have to have millions and millions of dollars. I'm talking about being able to take care of what they need to take care of, being able to sustain the lifestyle that they choose to live because it's their choice, how they want to live their lives, and then teach what I have taught them to their children, and then they teach it to their children's children. I am in the financial service industry not just for now, the present. I'm in it for the future, not just for my future, but the future of my family and for the generations to come. Will they all take the words of their grandmother, or if I'm their great-grandmother or great-great-grandmother, and use them? No, they won't. All of them won't. But some of them will, and they will listen, because I still remember the words that my grandmother taught me and my grandfather. I've told this story many times. My grandfather was a man who had so much pride that he would wear a suit to work, and he was going to park cars, but nobody knew where he was going because in his mind he had to be dressed for who he might meet along the way. So So he would wear a suit or a shirt and a tie sometimes to work. Then when he would get to work, he would take his tie off, change into his overalls, what they used to call them, and he would go out there and park cars all day long. But my granddaddy taught me about saving money. He had money that he held on to for so long because he didn't trust banks back then that the money would turn yellow. That's how long he would keep it. But he instilled in me the good traits of saving. Now, as his granddaughter, did I listen to what my grandfather told me most of the time? No, because and then some of the times, yes. So it was kind of a catch-22. I listened, but I still wanted to do it my way because, to me, he didn't know everything because he wasn't well-educated, but he knew about money. He couldn't read, but he knew how to count money. You could never cheat him when it came to his money because he knew what the value of the dollar was. And as I look back on what I've learned from my grandparents, I know that a part of where I am now has something to do with my past. So I want to be in the present so that I can learn and take away from the past of my ancestors and bring that into the forefront and teach it to my children so that they can be the future and teach it to their children. And so my grandmother was a housekeeper at some points in time, and then she worked for a picture frame company downtown Norfolk right off of York Street. And it was so funny because my grandfather parked the cars in the York Street parking lot, and my grandmother worked across the parking lot from my grandfather, and she was framed pictures, and I mean beautiful pictures, and she worked for a company, Bailey Picture Frame Company, and the Baileys owned it, and she worked there, and I remember sometimes she worked so hard her fingers would bleed because she was working with glass and glass cutters, and even though she wore gloves, her hands would sometimes bleed, but she worked really hard, and she saved as much as she worked. She saved. She spent less than she made, and she saved, and my grandmother always had money. She was the grandmother with the hanky that she would have tucked down in her blouse, and if you needed something, she was able to give it to you, and she would always say, don't you tell your granddaddy that you have this money, because she was always storing it up and making sure that, one, she had everything that she needed, but then she was always able to help somebody else, not just me, my siblings, but other people in our family. They always came to my grandmother. Her name was Maggie. And, of course, I miss her and Miss Lee because we just Mother's Day was this past weekend, and my mom, my grandmother, mother-in-law, they're all going on to their heavenly place. But I miss the women in my life who have nurtured me and supported me. And my grandmother, I was her first granddaughter, so I could do no wrong in her eyes. You know, she just adored me, and I knew that she did, and I knew that my grandmother loved me unconditionally, which was why I know that I have so much to give because of everything that I've gone through in my life and coming to this point where I am now, as I am a grandmother and a great-grandmother, and I look at my grandchildren, and I want so much for them, but they have to want it too. And I probably was like my grandchildren at that point in time when I was their age and really wasn't listening to my grandmother. But I do remember so many things about the things that my grandmother and grandfather instilled in me about finances. I had my first home by the time I was 21 because they told me that was what I needed to do. And I was not able to hold on to that home because I was listening to other people and not listening to my grandparents. So if I had stayed on the course with my grandparents, I would have fared better. But back then, my mortgage payment was probably like $235 from what I remember. And interest rates were high back then, but that was a sign of the times. So I was not able to hold on to that home, and that place is still there in Norfolk today, and sometimes I ride by not to cry about it, but to remember, to have that remembrance of how I had the opportunity and I messed up. And that's all I can say about it. I just messed up because I wasn't in a good place at that particular time. But we move on from that and we learn from our experiences. And so that's why today I come to to say to you, we can't change everything that has happened in our lives. If you're struggling with your debt and you have collections and you have things that you need to take care of, you didn't get into debt in one day, one week, one month, one year, and you won't get out of debt unless something miraculously happens, and God can bless you in that way where he gives you greater abundance. And so we just have to be grateful and thankful for where we are on this Thursday and know that God has a plan bigger than anything we could ever, ever imagine, but we know that it's a process. And in the process, we have to learn to be in the present, and we also have to learn to run our own race. So run your own race. Of course, Veronica and I come every week and we give you tips and things that you can do, but you have to make sure that it's your God-given ability to do what it is that God has ordained for you to do, not what somebody tells you to do. And be mindful of your assignment, the assignment that he has given you. So many times in my life I made mistakes, and I can honestly say that, but it has made me wiser. It has made me stronger. It has made the fighter in me rise up sometimes, and then it has also humbled me to know that nobody can help me out of certain situations but God. No matter what I think, no matter what I feel, no matter what I communicate, no matter how I behave, there is nobody that really can help me but my faith in God and how he has led me to where I am today. Am I doing all the things right? Still no. I still make mistakes. I still bump my head sometimes because I'm hard-headed and trying to run before him to get things done. But then I have to, again, humble myself and come back to where I need to be and be in his presence and fully understand the relationship that I have with my Lord and Savior, because that's what's gotten me to this point. When I didn't know at times how I was going to make it through certain situations financially, I will always have to pray about it. And sometimes we wait until we are in dire needs and we're in the crisis mode, and then we're praying and we're saying, Lord, help me to get out of this certain situation. And if you help me, Lord, this time I will never do this again. Well, you may not do that again, but you may do something else again. And it's okay if we fall short, because we all do. We're all imperfect, living in this imperfect world. And sometimes we place ourselves in positions where we are lacking the education to do what we need to do. We're proud people, and we won't ask anybody to help us because we think we can do it on our own. And I'll give you an example of that. I was at two libraries this weekend. I was at another library in Norfolk on Tuesday as well. And I was there to teach people about finances, about how to do better with their credit and their budget, and how to maintain the money that they have, and how to refinance their finances. And I was talking to a gentleman, and I was telling him what I did, and he seemed so disinterested. And I was wondering why he even came to my table to talk to me. And he kind of walked away. I was talking to a group of people, and he came over first, and I was talking to him. And then when I started talking about finances, so I don't know his situation, but I always know this, and I always pray this, that God sends me people who are ready for me to help them. Because some people are not ready. Some people are not ready to face reality. Some people are not ready to dive deep into their mess and try to get things straightened out. And when I was doing a workshop a couple of Saturdays ago, and the facilitator and the host asked me, what is the one thing that people that I see and people that I talk to about their finances? And I had to be truthful to say that most people are in denial about their finances. And I said this twice. I said it that day, and I said it again Tuesday night. And I'm not trying to be funny or flipping, but I'm not talking about the ripple. They're in denial about where they are financially. They have been doing a certain thing a certain way, and they're comfortable with that, and that's fine. So if you're going to be a disruptor in their lives and tell them they need to do something different, they may not be ready to hear that. And so it was interesting that he kind of, his face, his expression kind of changed, and he kind of walked away, and then I was, and a couple other ladies were there to go back to the story, and then, but I heard him listening to what I was saying. And actually, before I left, he came back over to talk to me, because maybe he didn't want to let anybody know that he was in a situation where he needed financial help. But it's okay, and you have to do what's right for you. Start right where you are today. You know what situation you're in. You know what you've been through. And you're the only one that can decide when you're ready to do something. We're talking about moving forward and talking about being present and what we need to do. And everyone is different. Everybody that I meet, I don't put everybody in a group together, whether they're low to moderate income or middle, upper class, or wealthy. You know, those are just terms that we use. I talk to people when I meet them. I have no expectations about them whatsoever. I have no thought process about them, no matter how they're dressed or the way that they're talking. Just because they're in a three-piece suit still doesn't mean that they have any money. I've had people in my classes who had their GED, and then I had people who had their PhD. They were no different in the aspect that they didn't know how to manage their money. So it doesn't matter about the education that you have. It matters about what you're willing to listen to and to learn and to better educate yourself about using money. When we're talking about all aspects of money, again, it's all different. And I was looking up this thing called financial therapy, and I was intrigued by it. And so I've been doing a little bit of studying about it because I wanted to learn more about financial therapy and how that really works. And so when I was looking it up, it's multiple disciplinary things that they do in this therapy session with people who are having different thoughts about money, the different way that they process their money, how they shape public policy, how do they practice management of money and the standards of living, and utilizing the tools that they have developed in financial therapy. And so anytime you hear the word therapy, you think about a therapist, right? Someone who is going to help you. And so when I was looking at this thing about financial therapy, it was talking about the diverse and professional backgrounds that represent the people that come to them looking for help to get their finances in order. And so they are psychologists, they are marriage therapists, they're social workers, they're financial planners, they're accountants, they're counselors, they're coaches, they're students, and people who work in academics. So they want to work with people to build a community of financial therapy professionals who provide a forum to share research and best practices and best methods and best models and inform communities and businesses and organizations about finances. So I'm not a licensed therapist, but I was really intrigued by this conversation that they were having about financial therapy. And so as I dive more into it, I'm sure I'm going to come back and share more with you. But their whole platform is pretty much what I do as a financial advisor coach, and that is I sit down with people and go over their finances. I talk to them about what shape they're in as far as their money is concerned. And I talk to them about ethics and guidelines and things that they can do. I try to communicate well with people about money, and I try to promote financial wellness in anyone that I meet. And so looking at this financial therapy piece, it just intrigued me. So, and I'm going to learn more about it, and I'm definitely going to come back and share some more information with you all about it as I learn more about the process. But it pretty much is what I actually do, but they are licensed to do it. I'm licensed in a different way. I am licensed as a financial services representatives. I'm licensed to sell life insurance, and I'm licensed to help people with their retirement plans like RAs and tax-free retirement. I'm licensed to do those things. I'm also a paralegal by trade and profession, and so I do have some legal knowledge, but I'm not a lawyer, so I don't practice anything in the legal aspect, but I do have the ability to understand different things like contracts and those sort of things. So I just wanted to share some things with you tonight about getting your financial house in order. We just come out of financial wellness month last month, and we're into mental health awareness this month. And because all these things go hand in hand, if you're one of your areas are not intact, you're probably going to be a little bit lopsided in some of the other areas. So we have to work on the whole body, the mind, body, spirit, and the finances. And so it's so important that we do all of these things. So if you would like more information about issues concerning women and about me and about the things that I do, you can go to my website at www.issuesconcerningwomen.org. If you would like more information about my co-host, Veronica McMillan, she's all about the 501c3 organizations, the nonprofits, making sure that they get the education that they need, helping them to build those nonprofits, being truthful with them, being authentic. She is just a powerhouse of information. And so if you want more information about what she does, you can go to info, and this is her email, info@micrononprofitnetwork.org, or go to the web at www.micrononprofitnetwork.org. We are dedicated, as I stated before, to building better communities, helping our communities to stand on a firm foundation, because what we are doing is building for the future, not just our future, but for the future of our loved ones and for yours as well. And so we encourage you to continue to come and hang out with us every week. I hope that something I said resonated with you today. If you need help with your finances, with whether it be your credit, a budget, maybe you need to go over your banking accounts, I can help you do that. I don't even have to see your data. I can just teach you how you need to do that. And a budget is something that most people don't like the word budget, so I'm just going to put it out there. We also put it in the category of a spending plan. And what that really does is, and it's really, really simple, there's nothing complicated about it, but I like to share with people what a spending plan looks like. If you take a sheet of paper and you put a line down the middle of the paper, on the left-hand side of that paper, you're going to put everything that you have coming in. And you can do this whether you're a business, individual, it really doesn't matter. Whatever you're doing, you can put what you have coming in, whether you have a gig or you're an entrepreneur, put all the money that you have coming in. Put that there. And then on the other side of that paper, you're going to put what you have going out. And that's everything. If you're doing it for your personal information, that's going to be your rent, your mortgage, your utilities, your food, your clothing, your insurances, everything, the subscriptions that you have, the credit cards, the loans, the car payments, everything that you pay, all gas, a lien for your car. Everything goes on that right-hand side of that paper. Even when you go get your favorite coffee or you go to the snack machine, and you should do this for about a couple of months, and each month you do it and do it on a separate sheet of paper so that you can gauge where you are, and then you're going to find out what you're actually spending. So I know that I gave you a lot of information, and then at the bottom of that page, you're going to total up what you have coming in and what you have going out. So I hope that helps somebody tonight to develop a spending plan. Start working on where you want to be and where you want to go, working on your being present, working on your future. And these things that I'm saying to you, you can teach these things to somebody else. It's not rocket science. It's just knowing. And there, we really don't have a money problem in America overall. All Americans, what we have is an education problem, and so many people have not been educated about how to use money. So I thank you for your time tonight. I know it went really quick. I know I said a mouthful, but you can always come back and visit the show again. Veronica and I love you, and we love that you have consistently been with us, sharing our program, giving us feedback, and we look forward to coming back to you next Thursday night to give you more tips and more information about the things that we're doing. Veronica has some great programs going on. So follow her on Facebook. Follow me on Facebook as well. Let me know that you listen to the broadcast. And we will be back next Thursday night for another episode of Issues Concerning Women, the radio show. Take care now. God bless you. And we will see you soon. And I hope if you are a mom, an auntie, a sister, a stepmom, whatever your role is as a woman, I hope you really had a fabulous Mother's Day. I look forward to talking to you soon. And Mother's Day is every day. So take care now. God bless. Bye-bye.